Hello, and welcome to Off the Cuff. I am your host, Chris Martinson, and on this program, every week, we are going to bring you a fascinating guest, where we are going to discuss the economy, energy, or the environment, informally and without a script. Welcome, everyone, to this Off the Cuff. I'm your host, Chris Martinson. Of course, it is Wednesday, June 5th, and can't wait to dive into the topics with today's guest. We have John Rubino back with us. John, hey, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Chris. Good to be back.
Listen, first time we're talking since the Peak Prosperity Seminar, which you came to, and thank you so much for that. Had such a wonderful time hanging out with you and with everybody there. That was a really good time for me.
Yeah, that was a great time. And, you know, Chris, I was really impressed with the people that you had there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, me too.
at the dinner on the first night, every table I sat at and every group of people I talked to were all well-educated and very focused on improving their lives. So you had a good bunch of people.
Thanks. They're great people and already looking forward to next year. It's just been a phenomenal and honorable thing to – real honor of mine to be associated with such a great tribe. And I guess, you know, the words that would describe us is we're all curious and a lot of successful people there, obviously, and people are looking to – build beyond success into significance, which binds us as well. And as well, I think we're sort of reality based, which brings me to what I really want to talk with you about, because yesterday we had this explosion, 550 points in the Dow, nearly 60 on the S&P, all based on the fact that Powell, who, I'm a Fed critic. Of course, I hated Greenspan, really hated Bernanke, thought Yellen was far worse than anybody else was really noting in the popular press, because she's got this kindly sort of grandmotherly thing. But oh my God, what an intellectual disaster she was. But Powell, I thought, might be cut from different cloth. He was when he was on as a voting member of the FOMC. He seemed to have slightly different views. But here's something that I've noticed, John, that when people finally get into that seat of power, be they president, be they get to the Senate seat, they become the chairman of the Federal Reserve, all of a sudden, anything they used to do, you can just chuck that in the rubbish bin, because now they have to play the game. And the game that I see Powell playing is he inherited the idea that the Federal Reserve is responsible for keeping financial asset prices elevated. He talks a good talk about inflation and employment and all that other stuff. He doesn't care about that stuff. Whenever the stock market seems to get a little wobbly, he's riding to the rescue. And he has yesterday's third caving. So I was giving him, he had two strikes, right? Strike one, December. Well, we might pause on interest rates. Strike two. Well, we might pause on the balance sheet reduction. Strike three was coming out and saying, well, we'll do whatever it takes, you know, if the economy needs help. But code speak with the stock market needs help, because what by the data, right? Super low unemployment. Economy's apparently doing okay. It's expanding. On and on. By the numbers, there's nothing here to say there's an emergency where we have to talk about reducing rates from an already obscenely low level. But here we are. We're talking rate cuts again, and those are back on the table. What did you make of all that?
Well, a few things. You're right about the point in the cycle where we are now being really an unusual time to be talking about lowering interest rates, right? Because normally when the labor markets are this tight and wage inflation is running around 3%, which it is right now, the Fed is usually tightening, because wage inflation is the kind of inflation they understand. Mm-hmm. As opposed to stock prices going up or bond prices or house prices going up. That's inflation, but they don't count it as inflation. But when wages go up, they usually start raising interest rates. So it is really telling that that they're seeing things that lead them to maybe start easing again, even with the economy, in theory at least, still growing 10 years into the beginning of an expansion. And I think they're recognizing the fact that the world, not just the U.S., but the whole global financial system, is so highly leveraged that any kind of a downturn becomes systemically risky. In other words, a 20% drop in stock prices, which is the definition of a bear market, is something that happens all the time, at least historically. But this time around, it might knock down other dominoes in a way that is uncontrollable just because there's so much bad debt out there. You know, when you take on huge amounts of debt, by definition, a lot of it has to be bad debt because usually the good credits have already done their borrowing. And if you're going to expand debt beyond that point, you have to work your way down into the barrel, to the bottom of the barrel. And that's where we are now. A lot of people who've borrowed money can't pay it back. And they're only hanging on because the economy is growing and because their paychecks are there. And, you know, you take that away and boom, the system starts to fall apart. These guys know that at the Fed. So they're trying to delay the inevitable easing because they know that interest rates are already so low. You know, the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan never did get to raise interest rates. The Fed only got to raise interest rates a little bit, which means they have no ammo going into the next recession. Normally, the Fed will cut interest rates by about 5 percentage points